Well, good morning and welcome once again to the Springville Crossing campus of Revive Wesleyan. Let's just give our worship team some appreciation this morning and our sound and tech team, would we? Amen. If you missed it earlier, my name is Keith and I just want to welcome you here. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a topic that I believe all of us suffer from, and that is something called fear. Many of us face fear, fear that takes on a variety of flavors in our own personal lives. For example, you might be afraid of bees or spiders or roller coasters or clowns or heights. And, you know, just thinking about this season that we've recently come off of, we face some fears, right? Maybe for you it was fear of COVID. Maybe for you it was fear of getting the shot. Maybe it's fear of mass shootings. There's a lot going on, right? Or maybe for you, you are afraid of more what I'd call broad brush or pervasive things. Things like fitting in. Are you maybe afraid of fitting in? Are you afraid of change? There's fear of change, right? Or fear of being alone. But I'll tell you what, regardless of what specific fear or fears you or I face, here is something that is true. And here is something that I know, and so do you, okay? This is something you know about unhealthy fears. What we know is that fear, church, is a thief. It is a thief. Because when you or I, when we really think about it, fear, your specific fear, it has taken so much from you. It has kept you and I from so much. So much experience, and it has robbed us of so much what I would call peace. It's a thief. And so with that said, do you know what? Fear, it should make us angry. Because at the end of the day, again, it is a robber. It is a robber of life. It is a robber of the life that God intends for you and I to experience and to have. And thus, this makes fear a heavy burden to carry. And thus, it made itself on our topic list for this series that we're in called Traveling Light, where we are talking about how David's Psalm 23, his teaching of us about God and his teaching to us about the character of God, how that alleviates our burdens, the unnecessary ones that we carry, which fear many times is. And so today, we want to look at and we want to take in, we want to take deeply in God's word to us from Psalm 23. Because his word to us in Psalm 23 has some relation to fear. And we want to do that so that we can conclude that's enough. That's enough, fear. You've taken enough from me and we will stand for it no longer. And this will be good for us to declare together because as you think of what you fear, can't you see that there have been decisions you have made that were driven by fear? Decisions that were not good ones, mind you. And can't you see that there were things that you did and things that you didn't do or haven't done because of fear, which kept you and is still keeping you from all that God wants you to be and all that he has for you to do. Fear, in fact, when you think about it, it even keeps us from the changes that need to happen in our lives for us to become more like Jesus, which is God's key end for our life. So, church, if we are going to travel light, then we need to do something about this thing called fear. Do you agree with that? Can I get an amen to that? We have to do something about this thing called fear. Now, I want to be clear that we are not talking about healthy fears because there are such things as healthy fears. If I'm afraid of icy roads and thus I slow down, that is a healthy fear that can keep me alive. Or if I'm afraid of having a heart attack, so I start eating better, I change my diet, that's a good thing. And even, church, if I fear God in a healthy way, then I approach him with reverence. And I approach him in humility, which is good. For fear of the Lord, says the Bible, is the beginning of wisdom. And it is the beginning of a wise life. So I just want to be clear today that we are not talking about fears like those ones, but we are talking about fears, again, that are robbers and that are thieves and so often are irrational and are bigger in our minds than God, which is, it's just an inaccurate view. So with that, we are going to look at how David, okay, in his shepherd song, again in Psalm 23, helps us to live without overbearing burden of fears. Now, in saying that, I bet, okay, and I bet if you think about this, you would bet this too. I bet that David was afraid. That he was afraid of a lot of things when he first started out as a shepherd. I mean, think about it. In the middle of the night, right? Out in the wilderness, alone with the sheep, he probably heard a noise, right? Can you think of that first night of him out there? He probably heard a noise and he wondered, is it a thief? Is it a thief sneaking up to steal a lamb? Or is it a wolf? Is it a lion? My point, church, is David had fears, but over time, he became courageous. Over time, he learned how to face his fears, and so can you, and so can I. How did he do it? How did he do it? Well, listen for a second to verse 4 of Psalm 23. God's word says this, "Even though I, David, walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You see, church, the source of our courage is God's very presence in our lives. Meaning, it is the truth that God, he is here with me. He is near me. He is beside me. He is in front of me. That's what instills courage. And what is this God like? Well, David tells us that this God, this one true God that David has come to know and trust, and that we as Revive Wesleyan proclaim, well, he is a good shepherd. That's what David says. He is a good shepherd. And what makes him such? Well, first, he is ever vigilant. He is ever vigilant, meaning he doesn't doze off, church, meaning he keeps careful watch for possible danger and difficulty in our lives. In fact, I love how the prophet Isaiah describes this. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 to 28, it says this, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God." Now let's pause there for a second. We, at least I know I could, and I bet many of you could too, we could put our names in there at times, right? Why aren't you listening, God? Why aren't you doing something, God? You must not care, God. You must not see, God. But the writer continues, "Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is the what, church? Everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not what, church? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Church, your shepherd is ever vigilant. Ever vigilant. And if you are not a believer here with us today, and if you feel like no one notices or no one cares, if you feel like you are wandering through life with no direction, with no leadership, I just got to tell you, you have an offered good shepherd who is vigilant, ever vigilant. And I'm going to let you know later how you can fall under his care. But first, this good shepherd, well, he is also a protector. He protects us. Now, you should have noticed that David said that God carries this rod. Did you see that in the verse 23:4? This rod that brings comfort in the face of fear. What is that all about? Well, you see, a shepherd had two main tools of the trade, one of which is a rod. This tool carved from the root of a tree that fit into their hand, and it kind of looked something like this. I've got a little one up here. It was probably a little bigger, but something like this, you know, a handle with a knobby ball, which were the roots on the end. And the shepherd, you see, would use this tool to protect his sheep, to protect them from predators. And they would either throw it, I'm not going to do that. They would either throw it, which they were really skilled at, guys. They would throw it to strike a predator and save the sheep. Or they could also use it in close combat to ward off a predator, which David actually did in real life as a shepherd. We read that in 1 Samuel 17, which we're going to visit that section in a second. But in this, when you think about it, okay, what it demonstrates is that the shepherd, do you know what? The shepherd is willing. The shepherd is willing and ready and able to take the heat for a member of its flock. That's who your God is. That's who he is to you, a protector, one willing to stand in the gap for you, to protect you from predators. Aren't you thankful for that? Don't you need that in your life? Now, we also need to know that this tool, the tool of the shepherd's trade, was also, when all else failed, it was also used to protect the sheep from himself. Maybe when he or she is heading astray and not responding to more gentle forms of encouragement like the staff, which we're going to talk about in a second. And this image of it, the image of the rod protecting us from ourselves, I just got to tell you, that really strikes a chord personally for me. And maybe it does for you too. Because I don't know about you, but I can oftentimes be my own worst enemy. Anyone else relate to that? I was like that for the first 25 years of my life, and I still slip into it sometimes today. And this idea, this truth, in fact, of us being our own worst enemy, I'm telling you what, it can take on many forms, like repetitive sin, or continual disengagement with God, or staying stuck in a rut. You see, my greatest fear, oftentimes, is failure. Just being real with you right now, my greatest fear oftentimes is failure. I am terrified to fail. And what that does at the end of the day is it keeps me from moving forward. It keeps me from moving forward, and thus what? I get nowhere. And even in the face of fear, maybe regarding conflict or something, I'm sorry, but I'm a person left to my own devices. I tend to freeze when it would be best for me to step into that fear and to keep, as Psalm 23:4 says, walking forward and through the darkest valley that I'm in. So with that said, I picture God using this rod to prod me along. Why? Well, ultimately to keep me safe, from staying in a dangerous place, to get me where he desires, you see, to get me where he needs me to be, to get me where he graciously invites me to be, which is so much better than that dark valley. So again, David is saying, he, our God, he protects us from the outside and from the inside. Why don't we let him? Why don't we let him more? Moving on, another thing this psalm is revealing to us in the attributes of our God, well, it shows us that he, our God, he guides us. He guides us. Our good shepherd guides us. You see, the other tool of the trade, of the shepherd trade, referred here in Psalm 23, is the staff, isn't it? And what the staff primarily represents is a leadership tool, one used to guide the sheep. And our God, he offers, our God, he desires to guide us through things like an active prayer life where we are listening for him and listening for his voice and listening for his guidance, and through his word, the Bible. With those things, you see, God tries to keep us out of trouble. But we don't always listen for him. We don't always listen to him, do we? But church, I am here to testify that if we pay attention, and if we ask, and if we listen, pursue him, in other words, he guides us. He guides us through his word. He guides us through his spirit. He guides us where? He guides us away from trouble. And he guides us toward the greener grass, to a fulfilling, to a fruitful life, church, a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of productivity for His glory and for our good. Get over here. Get over here, the Good Shepherd encourages, by touching the lamb, by touching us on our shoulder with the staff, which is His guidance, church. His guidance. Could you use some guidance in your life? Could you use some today, specifically related to maybe the fears that you face, the things that threaten, the things that tend to consume you? Could you use that today? Receive the shepherd. Receive Him. Receive Him for the first time today, or receive Him anew today. Now, also, I got to say with the staff, you know what else God does? He rescues us. He rescues us. As you likely know or saw in the image on the screen, the end of the staff is, it's hooked, right? Why? Well, that's so that the shepherd can like reach down into a ravine, for example, and hook the sheep in trouble in a dark valley around the neck and pull it out to safety. So what have you gotten yourself into? What have you gotten yourself into that is a danger to you? What have you gotten yourself into that is hurting you versus helping you? Because my Jesus, your offered Jesus, your King and Lord Jesus, I'm telling you what, He's a rescuer. He is a saver. And when you think about it, isn't this, in fact, the greatest gift of God that we proclaim to believe as Christians? That God, through Christ, our Lord, has rescued us from sin and from death, and that He is present with us through our faith in that, so that we do not have to go through life alone? Isn't the greatest promise that we believe as Christians that right there? Which, when you think about it, this last part that I mentioned, that we don't have to go through life alone, I'm telling you what, that is one of the greatest promises to help us battle our own fear. I mean, think about it. When you were a kid, when you were afraid, when there was a nightmare, when there was a scary setting, when you weren't feeling well, what helped with that? It was likely, I'm telling you what, it was likely getting close to mom or to dad or to a caregiver or someone. To do what? To face it together. That made it palatable, didn't it? That made it better, didn't it? You know, I think about it. I think about jumping in bed with mom or dad after a nightmare, and before you know it, what? You're back asleep. The point is, the presence of another close to us as we face our fears is huge. It's huge. And you know what? I don't know if you know this, but I'm almost 50 years old. I know that's hard to believe because I look so good. But I got to tell you, I often reflect on that, and in so many ways, I still feel like a kid, okay? Meaning, I feel like I don't know what I am doing half the time. And I don't know how I'm going to get through what's in front of me, the fear of what is in front of me. I say all that to say this. I need a father. I need a capital F father, regardless of my age. And I'm telling you what, so do you. And so does the world. An ever-vigilant, protective, and guiding, and rescuing Father, which is who our God is. That is what this portion of Psalm 23 proclaims, along with so many other portions of our Bible. And through Him, do you know what? Through Him, we can have courage. Through Him, we can have courage in the face of fear. The presence of God, church, gives us courage. And courage is not the absence of fear, but courage helps us to overcome fear. Whatever that fear is. Again, things like the fear of failure, the fear of change, the fear of being alone, the fear of dying, the fear of not fitting in. The very presence of God, church, and His good promises in the face of all of that, that's what gives us courage. That's why it's important to be in the Word of God, to see the promises He makes and the way that He moves, because His promises are good. They battle fear for us. And here's what we see in David. I want to point out something we see in David, and here is what is interesting about courage. Courage to overcome fears, do you know what? It can grow over time. The courage to overcome fears can grow over time if we face life with God, if we walk in our valleys of suffering with our God beside us. Through doing that over time, our courage can grow. In my own life, I got to tell you, I've faced fear from illness, from job loss, from relationship struggles, from financial problems, from the death of close people to me and loved ones, with God at my side. And I say that to say this, so have many of you. And I'm telling you what, if God helped you then, if he helped you then, he will surely help you today. He will surely help you now with whatever fear is threatening to consume you. And like I said, so it was for David. His courage grew. For I am sure, because it is my own testimony with different situations, but I'm sure that for the second night of David out with those sheep, when he watched over the flock, I'm sure that second night was easier than the first. In fact, there is this scene from David's life that I want to get to in a second, where he is about to fight the giant Goliath. And King Saul, the king at the time, the king questions his ability to fight such a giant. I want us just to listen to it. 1 Samuel 17, 32 to 37. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." King Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, and I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it, and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Okay, go. Let your Lord be with you." Moral of the story, church, the Lord who gave David courage then with the sheep is giving him courage now in this scene. And the Lord who has given you courage in the past will give it to you today in what fear that you are facing. For he is the same mighty God today as he was yesterday, and he will be the same mighty God tomorrow as he is today. And through your past victories that he's brought you to, you know what? You should know him better every single day. Through those past victories, you should know him better. And if you've never experienced the presence of God facing a fear, if you have never relied upon his presence to give you courage, my question today is, why not? Why not? Why not take a leap of faith today? Why not? Why not? Because my guess is what you've been doing isn't working. It certainly isn't working as well as it could if you would have him beside you, if you would only include him. And what this scene with David shows us is that the small battles against fear that David won, that enabled him to enter a bigger battle with confidence, church. Do you hear the confidence in his voice? With that, I want you to listen to what David said to Goliath, our last reading for today, verse 45 through 47. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down, and I'll cut off your head. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." So church, face the fear that you have today with God. Face the fear that you have today with God to get to know him better and to trust him more. For again, he is ever vigilant and he protects us with his mighty arm and he guides us in paths of righteousness. And he does that, it says, for his name's sake. And he rescues us. He rescues us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Find fresh courage today, for God is with you. He is with you. And just a final word on trust. I got to tell you, the best way that he will choose to protect us and guide us and rescue us, it may be different than the way that we think he should. But trust, church, trust that his way is the best way. Because in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says this, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, it says, acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will make your paths straight. Would you pray with me? Dear good and heavenly Father, I come before you today, Lord, on behalf of this congregation that's gathered here in this space that is yours. This is your house. This is your space. And I pray, Lord, that we would dedicate our own bodies as your space and declare that we are yours. Lord, would you help us as we think about our fears? Would you help us to include you? Would you help us to really understand that your presence is with us? And it can be with us through our faith in you. And Lord, in saying that, I know I brought up a couple times today that there may be people here that really have no direction, that really have no companion to battle the things we've talked about. You are the offered good shepherd to everyone. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have life, and life eternal. Lord, you desire to be the good shepherd of everyone in this room. And Lord, if there is anyone here that's just never accepted that, that just feels like they're not seen, it's not true. It's a lie from the devil. So Lord, would you let them put their faith in you and just allow them to say, I receive you, Jesus Christ. I receive your rescue of me from sin and death. And I receive the Holy Spirit that you will put into me in this moment so that I am not alone when I face these fears. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to share in communion in just a second, but I wanted to just kind of talk about this a little bit. There's one aspect of the staff that I didn't bring up that a shepherd would use it for. And the aspect that he would use it for is to maybe grab a specific sheep and draw him close to the shepherd's side, to walk with him maybe for that day. And there were a couple different reasons that a shepherd may do this. You know, maybe the day before that sheep was in danger, maybe almost under attack from a lion or a bear or whatever. So they would pull it close just to remind them that I got you. You're next to me today. Another time a shepherd may do that was when the sheep kept going astray. Remember we talked about being our own enemy? The shepherd would pull that sheep next to him and maybe walk with him next to him for the next day or two, whatever. And what do you think that did for that sheep? I think it spoke that failure isn't fatal. That's what it says to me. I can mess up, but failure isn't fatal. My God, the good shepherd, he wants to draw me right next to him again. Can you think of the comfort that brings? Communion, what we're about to share in, is a time for you to be drawn close to your Savior. It is a time to share in a meal together that Jesus taught us to do, to remember him. It's called communion. What does communion mean? It means communing with someone, right? Spending some close time with them. So I just want you to know, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this table's open to you. Not perfect, but if you are truly a person that is sorry over your sin and repentant of that and trying to walk his way to the best of your ability, he says, come, let me pull you close to you, myself, in these next few minutes. Let's walk together for a few minutes. Let's talk with one another. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had this meal with his friends. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. It represents my body broken for you. And then in a few hours, he was arrested, he was beaten, and he hung on a cross. Later on at that same meal, before all that happened, he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. And in a few hours, he was arrested, he was beaten, and he hung on a cross. But you know what happened 3 days later, don't you? He rose. He conquered sin and death. And he still lives today to be our good shepherd. But in communion, we declare his death until he comes again. So I want to invite those that are going to serve communion to come forward. I want to invite the worship team forward. I'm going to pray, and you can go to either side station and receive communion and just spend some time with your God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you desire to be close to us. You are not some far-off God. But you say this is good to do, to share in communion, to be reminded that you desire to have relationship with us. That is why you were beaten. That is why your blood was shed, so that we can have relationship with God again. So Lord, would you bless this time for us? Would it be a blessing to you as we cry out to you? Maybe as we just talk to you and say one simple word, that word could be help. That word could be please. That word could be heal. But mostly that word should be thanks. Thank you for what you've done. We remember you in this moment. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.